Is the world going to become a better place until Jesus finally arrives? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and I'm Dr. Fred, your host. We asked the question at the top of the hour whether or not the world is going to become a better place so that Jesus will simply be able to arrive. Well, according to the Bible, the world is not going to become better and better until Jesus is finally able to step up and take his rightful place as ruler of this world. There are movements afoot now that want to see America return to its foundation, believing that the U.S., having been founded upon biblical principles, needs simply to return to that ideal and all will be well with America and hence the world. I believe this is patently false. In fact, I fully believe that it is too late and we have come too far for any return to what some might call normalcy. There's too much going on behind the spiritual scenes and it is happening too fast to stop it or even keep it from moving forward. Now, that may sound like a defeatist attitude, but the truth is that it's that clear if we will only take the time to see it. In this day and age, truth itself is under attack from all sides. In fact, in some countries, stating the truth about Islam or homosexuality can result in a fine, a jail sentence, or even death. Biblical truth is pivotal and unchanging. And in some cases, the only way people can deny the truth is to make it against the law by trying to redefine truth as hate speech. Now, that doesn't mean we avoid telling the truth as Christians. It means we become aware of and take into consideration the potential consequences and continue broadcasting the truth anyway. You know, it's funny, when I write an article in my blog on astral projection, homosexuality, or something dealing with the New Age, I am amazed to see how many people will come out of the woodwork attempting to call me judgmental, critical, or just simply way off base. Certainly, they're entitled to their opinions, but the reality is that they are attempting to shut me down by calling truth into question. They don't like what I have to say, and since it does not square with their experience and beliefs, well, shutting me up is what they want. It's all part of that tickling of the ears that people have become so fond of today, and it's only going to worsen with time. In general, people do not want to hear solid doctrine or theology. They don't want to be taught that there is one truth. Truth annoys them, so they don't want to hear it. They prefer to immerse themselves in teaching that makes them feel good, makes them believe that the world is moving toward a higher good, and provides them with an outlook that says life is only going to get better. It's hogwash. Who is anyone to denigrate what Jesus has clearly stated about what will happen during the end times, times in which I believe we are fully immersed? Those times are here now. Jesus clearly demonstrated through his teaching that during the last days, life would literally become hell on earth. And just a quick glance at Matthew 24 proves this to be the case. Yet here we are today, and we have all sorts of preachers and supposed Bible teachers telling us an alternate fairy tale future. They're quick to make light of Jesus' words by attempting to redirect people in thinking that what Jesus spoke of already happened. It happened and culminated in AD 70, or they allegorize his word to mean something that those words don't mean. They prefer allegory over truth. In his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, Jesus clearly references the entire world as the context or backdrop of his teachings and his dire warnings. He wasn't simply speaking about Jerusalem, though certainly parts of his teachings do reference and include Jerusalem. He was speaking about the literal hell that will visit the entire globe during the end times, times that I and many others believe are arriving. You know, the entirety of Matthew 24 speaks of the horrors that will visit this planet during the time before, leading up to, and including the 7 years of tribulation. Do we honestly believe that this coming seven-year period of time has already occurred in the distant past, and that the Antichrist that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 7 and 9 and 2 will rule the entire world has already come and gone? I mean, the plain fact of the matter is that legions of demonic hosts are alive and well and doing their level best to occupy this world and deceive people. That's their job. And they take special delight in each soul that they turn away and keep from God. It's what they do. Christians who get caught up in the political turmoil are doing no service to God because they are avoiding their true calling, which is to bear fruit and be involved in the Great Commission. Now, that is not to say that if God is calling you into the political field some way or somehow, you have an obligation to go. I'm speaking of a general belief that getting involved in politics is a way that we're going to change this world and turn our country back to God. That would be nice. I just don't see that happening in Scripture. Everything that is occurring around us, whether it's political or socioeconomic in nature, should be the impetus for us to desire to see soul after soul come to the Lord for salvation. Instead, too many are caught up in trying to turn things around and trying to revert them to this ideal that they believe existed with our founding fathers. They work hard for change in November. They want certain politicians out and others in. There is nothing wrong with that. They want to return to the Bible and principles upon which this country was founded. They tend not to see the reality of lost souls because they are often focused elsewhere. I know I would be. Now, there are individuals, obviously, who can be and who are called into the realm of politics. And God will use those individuals as a living example of his light to that dark world. But still, the main impetus or reason for them being involved in the political arena, I believe, should be as an example to the lost. It's not wrong to vote. It's not wrong to try to work to make areas of society a better place, but if that becomes the sole or main focus, then obviously the Great Commission has been lost, or the sight of it has been lost, and that needs to be our main focus as Christians. It cannot take a backseat to anything. But beyond politics, there's a tremendous and growing interest in the area of UFOs, aliens, space truckers, portals, and the like. People are thoroughly interested in the subject of what lies beyond our physical realm. They're catapulted with curiosity to seek out every book and speaker who seems to know anything about these areas, instead of wanting to know God better and live a life that pleases him, as well as helping to snatch souls from the fire before it's too late. Too many are ensconced in studying the spirit world for the sake of studying it and learning what we can learn, even when the source of that information is far less than credible. The Bible only tells us so much, and for many, that's not good enough. You know, when Paul was taken up to the third heaven, there were things he could not talk about afterwards. He never shared. It was simply not permissible for him to do so. He noted that in this life we see things darkly. In other words, because of the unseen wall that separates our world from the spiritual realms, there's much that we are not privy to and much that cannot be seen or understood. In spite of that lack of knowledge, we should, however, continue to move on fulfilling the Great Commission. Because after all, if Christians don't tell others about the truth of salvation, who will? But instead, many within Christendom have become enamored with knowledge of the forbidden. We do whatever we can to find some way to peel back that curtain in order to obtain a greater vantage point. But for what purpose do we really need to know? It's one thing to understand how the spiritual realm works, and we have glimpses of it in Scripture. It's actually important to have at least a basic grasp of how the beings within that realm work and operate as revealed in Scripture. Knowing about that makes us more astute and clear-headed, something Peter calls being sober-minded. In fact, in his first letter, Peter mentions being sober-minded no less than three times. Quote, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ," unquote. That's 1 Peter 1:13. In 1 Peter 4:7, he says this, quote, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." And then in 1 Peter 5:8, he says this, quote, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour," unquote. In spite of those warnings, today people are anything but sober-minded. Paul speaks against this type of mindset in Ephesians 4:14, and he says this, quote, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming," unquote. Now, just prior to this verse, Paul speaks of what our walk in Christ should be. But for too many, it's the opposite. We should walk in fullness of spirit, relying on the gifts he has provided so that his body, the church, will be built up into a living organism that pleases God and brings praise to him. If we do that, then, as a result, we would no longer be like children, thrown around by the newest, latest, greatest teaching, which normally comes through the trickery of men and is fully enveloped in deceitful scheming. Not only are people interested in knowledge of the forbidden, but many turn to ministries that appear to have all the answers. When you look at many of these ministries today, it's very obvious that they have amassed, many of them, a good deal of wealth. It certainly seems as though God has blessed them because of their riches and their books and their video sales. They are well known throughout the world, and leaders of those ministries have become household names. Everyone knows them, whether they agree with their teachings or not. This seems to indicate that material wealth and success is the direct result of God's blessing, but it may have nothing to do with it. The problem is that in today's day and age, the fact that these people amass such large followings can only be due to the fact that they are teaching something that itches and tickles the ears of those who follow them. This is exactly what Paul means when he says, quote, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires," unquote, 2 Timothy 4:3. Paul is telling us very clearly, without equivocation, that there will come a time when, by and large, people will not want to hear the truth. They will actually prefer lies that make them feel good. Do you know people like that? I know people like that. This is the true statement. And it points to the time toward the end of this current age, a time I believe we are living in. And let me just emphasize, old rabbis from generations ago thought in terms of two ages, this age, which is the age we are living in, and the age of the Messiah. Those are the only two ages, our age and the coming age of the Messiah. And Paul is telling us that in this day and age, as we move closer and closer and closer to the beginning of that second age, the age of the Messiah, people will not endure sound doctrine. They will want their ears tickled. They will only want to hear things that make them feel good. That's what Paul's saying. More and more people don't want to discuss and deal with things that they view as being sad, bad, or depressing. There's so much negativism every day that people deal with, the economy, the housing situation, politics. They don't want to turn to the Bible and hear more of the things that construe to also be negative. Well, that's our show for today. We're ending on a slight down note, but we're going to bring it right up on the next show. I thank you for joining me today. And I know many Christians today are suffering through many things. They're not looking at this as if I only want to hear the good things. Well, thank you for joining me, and may God bless you and open your eyes to show you how blessed you are until we meet again.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.